Father, I thank you and I praise you for this night. I thank you, Father God, for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do. Father God, I'm asking a special blessing be upon this teaching tonight. I'm asking, Father, that you open up the ears, open up the spirit man that he can receive everything that they're hearing tonight. And Father God, let no one leave here unchanged. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to teach on, are you still teachable? There's a whole lot of Christians not going to make it. And even though they think they are, they're not going to make it because they've become unteachable. Even when you know, it just totally amazes me how I read about people are starting to twist, you know, actually rewrite the Bible, twist the words to suit them, you know, and because they just don't like the way the Bible is. And you hear so many, even pastors are contradicting what the Word of God says. And we know that we are dangerously close to the end times. And just like I was telling one of my family the other day, I said, God, let me know 6 months ago, we are closer to the end than what we believe. And she said, you never say that. And I said, no, I don't, because nobody knows the time or the season, and I don't either. But he told me that we are closer than we think, and we need to get it together. You know, just like, you know, your rapture is the day you die. Well, if you drop dead right this second, where would you go? You should always, always, always be checking yourself. Because look what happens to people all over the world. 1 second you're here and next second they're gone. And where do they end up at? I don't care how much you read your word. I really don't. I don't care how many Christian programs you watch. How's your heart? How are you inside? And are you really doing what the Word of God says that you should be doing? You're not going to be able, if you sit in here under the teachings, you're not going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Because you are taught, you do know. And I'm just really admonishing each and every one of you to really think very seriously about your walk with God. And where would you end up? And be honest with yourself. Where would you end up if you drew your last breath right now? Are you still teachable? There's a lot going on right now. We are all experiencing difficult times. It seems like we get one situation under control and another one pops up before we can catch our breath. These circumstances and situations are causing us to be strengthened and changed in different ways. Let's read that again. These circumstances and situations are causing us to be strengthened and changed in different ways. We are also developing a new level of faith and trust. With all the junk that's going on in your life, God is trying to do a perfect work within you. The High Court has ordered a workout session for us to attend, and the results will be amazing. The High Court is God's court. And, you know, as I was typing this and studying about this, so many people have gotten a prophetic word saying that they're going to have their day in court. And we've all thought that they were going to stand in a courtroom here in Dover, but their day in court is going to be in heaven. And God is going to judge everything that has been going on, and he's going to bring down the perfect verdict. Do you understand that? Seeing where, all right, I'll just use an example with our boys, you know, with everything that happened to them and they were taken away from us. God says, don't worry, they're going to have their day in court. So for years, we look for us to go to court with them, and the boys will be turned back to us, but that isn't what God was saying. God was saying in his courtroom, he's going to judge the whole situation and bring down the perfect verdict. Are you listening here? See, we hear things and we perceive them the way we perceive them, but we don't perceive them the way God is saying them. All right? So I said the High Court has ordered a workout session for us to attend, and the results will be amazing. We have been in God's boot camp for too long. And it's because he loves us that he enrolled us in his boot camp. God has been working all things after the counsel of his own will. In Ephesians 1:11, it tells us, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God has been grooming, preparing and aligning us for the days we are facing right now. Are you hearing us here? Are you losing your head? Do I know my limitations? Psalm 119:73 says, the psalmist says, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. The psalmist looks to the Lord as teacher because he is his creator. He knows his dependence is on the limitless one, God. While pride seeks knowledge in order to elevate what is true, a posture of humility asks God for his wisdom and receives understanding with gratitude. You see this? Let's face it, we are not going to figure the future out on our own, no matter how gifted we may be. Jesus is our head. He is an excellent leader, and we must follow him closely if we are to stay in peace and be free of confusion. Let's read that again. We are not going to figure, that's why I said back there, are you losing your head? All right? We are not going to figure the future out on our own, no matter how gifted we may be. Jesus is our head. He is an excellent leader, and we must follow him closely if we are to stay in peace and be free of confusion. It's not time to walk in the light of our own counsel. We need Jesus to continue to lead us and guide us and be our head. We will always see in part, prophesy in part, and we will always be dependent on the one who loves us the most to keep us and instruct us all the days of our lives. You know, I think a lot about how Aaron and Adam came here, and I think about how his mother and father have come here. And now some of his relatives have come here. And just because God brought Adam and Aaron across our path, we have met a lot of different people. And those lives are being touched and changed. So see, I know that Julie, their mother, doesn't understand or didn't understand why God would do this. But see, God wanted to use them to touch others' lives. Lives that he couldn't have touched any other way. See, so we have to quit questioning God about what he's doing and know that God knows exactly what he is doing and he knows what he has to do to get the job done. All right? And he will move heaven and earth to get it done. And we have to understand that. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we don't like it even when we do understand it. But God is God. Right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, think on him, and he will direct your steps. I really have to hang on to this scripture, don't you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, think on him, and he will direct your steps. All means all. We must continue to understand things from his perspective. We must continue to understand things from his perspective. Otherwise, we will become anxious, critical, and full of fear, which results in torment. God said he would keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds on him. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's why you get in perfect peace. Question, are you losing your mind? It is most important to lose your mind and take Christ's mind. See, everybody sitting in here needs to get this down in your spirit. You've got to quit thinking through your natural, stupid mind because it's totally out of control. But when you have the mind of Christ, everything is perfect. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now in Isaiah 55:8, he told us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and our ways are not our ways. How many times has God said to you, he says to me over and over again, daughter, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways definitely are not my ways. And so he has my attention at that point and I know that I have to drop what I'm thinking and I have to let him do the works for me. Are you listening here? Bet there's some thick-headed people who think that they can think better than God thinks. And they can do things better than God can do, and that gets you in a whole lot of trouble. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I think we need to get the mind of Christ and run to the mountain more often and pray. Amen. Come on. Jesus was always in the mountain, so we need to get his mind praying. Well, then, what is Christ thinking? For one, he is not thinking fear. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And seeing God's trying to get the body of Christ to understand that the devil's defeated. He's under your feet. And every time he comes at you, just laugh in his face. You know, and quit allowing him to take you out. Amen. Please don't do that. That is so distracting to me. You know, you're allowing him to take you out. Why? I've been teaching and teaching that you are the victorious one and that the enemy has no power and authority over you. Amen. Cheer up, take courage, I have overcome the world, is what Jesus is saying. Even in the midst of uncertainty, the church is headed for her finest hour, and I've been telling you that for years now. We are watching a very confused, misguided, and fearful world seek for answers, and God is going to use us in ways beyond our imagination. And that's why he's saying he's making you strong towers. Because a lot of people are going to be running into you, asking you questions because they see you staying in perfect peace. And they're wanting to know, how are you staying in perfect peace when all hell is broke loose around about you? Are you listening? Come on. Let's list some of his thoughts according to Philippians. You know, Jesus' thoughts according to Philippians 2. Number one, be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. We are supposed to be like-minded with Christ, having the same love that he has, and being one in the spirit and purpose. Instead of us being divided, Jesus is telling you to do one thing and you're saying, no, but I want to do this thing. See, you have to have the mind of Christ and do what he's telling you to do and stay on that track. There is a purpose why he has you where he has you. Two, do nothing out of flesh, ambition, or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Now see, the body of Christ stumbles over this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Number three, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. The body of Christ has a hard time doing that because it's all about me, 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 and exalting me, 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 me. Amen. See, God called me to teach ministers so they could go out and spread the gospel. Now, if it was all about me, I wouldn't teach you nothing and I'd have you glued to your chair. You understand this? So God knows who I am and what I'm all about, and I'm not about tying you to a chair. I'm all about wanting to watch you grow and go out there and do the mighty works that God has called you to do. And if you don't go out there and do the works he's called you to do, then your life is in vain. All right, the fourth thing is your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, just that much is enough to keep us busy for a while, these 4 points. How's your love life? Here we go again in our love life. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, he stuck that if in there. If you love one another. A lot of the body of Christ fails that test too. They can't love one another, but yet they want God to send them out there and use them for signs, wonders, and miracles. He's not going to do that. We have to love one another first. You have to love those in your household first. That's where you're going to be tested and tried the most, is in your own household. You have to love them before God's going to send you out there and trust you with the world. How are we doing on this, you know, our love walk? Are we passing our love test? I heard someone say, if you want to pass all of your love tests, then join church. Right? I can say amen to that. Sometimes I just sit and say, You know, I can't believe what the church body does to one another. When situations are beyond our control and we are anxious and fearful, it is easy to jump off the love ship and embrace an attitude of every man for himself. And that's what the body of Christ does. When situations are beyond our control and we are anxious and fearful, it is easy to jump off the love ship and embrace an attitude of every man for himself. It's called a survivor mentality. But such an attitude will not teach us to love. You know, when situations are beyond our control, we should just throw our hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. And keep on loving and keep on going. Because when it's beyond your control, then God's in control, right? There's not a thing you can do about it. You can't change anything. I've learned in my walk with God, I can't change people and I can't change myself and I can't change any situation unless God is in the center of it. Come on. And see, we're out there beating at the wind trying to do things without God, and things aren't changing and things are staying the same or getting worse, and we're blaming God. And it's not God, it's us, because we are not giving him control. We want to still be in control. All right, I said it's called a survivor mentality. If we run from our hard times, we will not learn how to navigate through them to the end. And we will face the same situation again down the road. Remember, God told me one time, daughter, you can go around that mountain as often as you want. And when you're ready to get off, I'll be standing here. So if we run from our hard times, we will not learn how to navigate through them to the end. And we will face the same situation again down the road. Love never fails, but we have to stay in it for it to never fail. We can ask ourselves these questions. Number one, do I love my enemies? In Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Guys, we're going to have to love our enemies. We're going to have to bless those who curse us. And we're going to have to do good to those who hate you. You're just going to have to if you're going to pass your love test. I didn't say you had to go out and have supper with them. All right? I didn't say that. But you're going to have to forgive them and move on. Forget it, hang it up, and move on. If you're constantly wanting to see the other person that's hurt you or caused you a lot of difficult, if you're constantly wanting to see them hurt, then you have a problem. You are not walking the love walk. You just aren't. And if you really belong to God totally, completely, 100%, you won't be able to not love your enemies. Because when you walk, you when they're not around you, boy, when I see them, I'm going to blop, 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 blop. And when you walk in front of them, you just throw your arms around them and just want to love on them. Why? Because the Christ in you rises up and loves your enemies. That's the way it works. Come on. I know I do it all the time. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now. They walk in the room and my daughter Teresa says, why did you do that? I said, the God in me did that. He doesn't want me to be of the world. Are you listening? He wants me to be in the world, but not of the world. He wants me to love my enemies, love those who curse me and persecute me. I can't do that. Well, then you don't have all of Christ in you yet. Right? Okay. The next thing is number two. Do I do good and pray for those who hate me? Now, don't lie on this one. Luke 6:27 says, But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Number three, when my enemy is hungry, do I feed him and give him water? Proverbs 25:21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Do you do that? You know, I do that, but so many people said, you need to stop doing that. They don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve the grace God gave you either. But really and truly, if you have Christ in you and you're full of him 100%, you just automatically do the things that the Word of God tells you to do. Jesus is in you and he's working through you. You don't even have to think about it. You just It just does its thing. Are you listening here? Come on. Number four, do I pray for my leaders or judge and criticize them? And 1 Timothy 2:1 says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. That's why you're supposed to pray for them. This one results with the promise of a quiet and peaceful life. Doing things God's way attracts His attention, and He can and will consider us for greater things in the days to come. I know that I know that I know that I know that God has called President Trump to be our president. But every now and then I say, God, would you spank your son and make him quit what he just did? You know, I pray for him continually. I'd have a hard time leading y'all. I wouldn't want to lead a nation. And so I do pray for him, even though we might see them doing things they shouldn't do or that you disgruntles you. That doesn't mean you should judge them. That means you should pray extra hard for them because the enemy is after them as hard as he can be after them. Are you listening here? Same way with your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your children. You know, when they're doing things that are just really dumb, instead of you making the thing dumber by overreacting in it, what you need to do is give it to God. Are you listening? I've learned that the hard way here just recently, just raising these two boys. God said, you're expecting things out of them they can't give you. But God, anything he asks you to do, you can do. God, that's more than I can. No, it's not. God never lays upon you things that you can't bear. He never does. He knows how strong you are. He knows how weak you are. And he knows how much you can handle. So don't go around saying, well, God, you just poured more on me than I can cope with. No, he didn't. You just didn't put God in the middle of it. And you tried to be God, and it didn't work. Romans 5:45 said, where am I at here now? All right, proven character results in hope, and hope will not disappoint us because the love of God is poured out in our heart. Proven character. How many times have God had me teach you about your character? We have to have strong character. You know, if you don't have good character, you're nothing. You need to understand that. And you have to look up to Jesus and become like he is and improve your character if it has flaws in it. And many of us have flaws in our character. And if you'll watch yourself, God is working on those flaws so that you have a good character. Romans 5:45 says, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. See, God, he's concerned about your character. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope does not disappoint. I've run across a lot of people lately, pastors who are hopeless right now. And I've had to speak life into them once again and encourage them. It is hard, I know, but you can do this thing that God has called you forth to do. If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't ask you to do it. And if your assignment's finished, he'll let you know your assignment's finished. But you can do it. Keep on going. All right, class has been in session for quite a few years now, hasn't it, class? Another really important point right now is, have you been teachable? When we embrace a know-it-all attitude, then pride causes us to be resisted by God and will delay and possibly abort God's plans to use us. Look at that again. Another really important point right now is, have you been teachable? When we embrace a know-it-all attitude, then pride causes us to be resisted by God and will delay and possibly abort God's plan to use us. Psalm 119 is the teach me psalm, if you want to read it. David was asking for God to teach him so he could walk in truth. That would mean that David didn't know how to do things on his own. God will teach us when we seek him with our whole heart. He's just not going to come and say, okay, Brett, sit down here. We're going to learn something today. No, he's going to wait for Brett to say, God, I'm dumb. And I need your wisdom and I need you to teach me today. And I'm sitting in your presence waiting for you to come and teach me what I need to know. All right. In that place, we can let go of walking in the light of our own counsel and release people who have hurt us. When you set in a place for God to teach you, in that place, we can let go of walking in the light of our own counsel and release people who have hurt us. That's why you can't release those people, because you don't sit in the counsel of God and you don't allow God to change your attitude. Do I believe God can change me? Psalm 119:33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, excuse me, and I will keep it to the end. Sometimes we harden our heart to instruction because we lack faith that God can change our desires to do his will. We forget that God has promised to give us both his instruction and the power to carry it out. You'll find that in Jude 24. Sometimes we harden our heart to instruction. You know, when God prophesies to you and tells you what to do, you don't want to do it, so you harden your heart. And we do that because we lack faith that God can change our desires to do his will. You think God isn't a big enough God that he can change you. We forget that God has promised to give us both his instruction and the power to carry it out. You find that in Jude 24. The Father purposes that through his teaching, we may grow and learn to reflect the glory of his Son, Jesus, and his purposes always come to pass. Healing is present when we position ourselves before the one who can put us back together again. I've never seen such brokenness in the body of Christ as what there is today. You know, we've had hurt after hurt piled upon us, and the body of Christ has not learned how to let it go. And so therefore you're broken, and God can't use you until you allow him to heal you. I would like for us to get healed tonight of all that junk that's inside of us. You know, God has been showing me that a lot of the body of Christ is really messed up, really bad. And because they can't trust God to heal these things, they don't turn them over to him, and they're going to go to their grave with these things, which is going to keep them out of heaven. There's nothing anybody can do to me that I would carry and keep me out of heaven. Absolutely nothing. If you want to go to hell, fine. I'm not going to be there with you. That should be your attitude. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to walk on, because I'm not going that way. What have I learned from my previous lessons? We're talking about, are you teachable? What have I learned from my previous lessons? Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I was afflicted. See that? Why? That I might learn your statutes. I hear so much of the body of Christ, they are not happy they were afflicted. They moan, and don't they? They moan, they groan, they carry on like a fool. But the psalmist here said, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes. One sign of being teachable is the passing of a test. The good student appreciates tests because he knows they reveal evidence of growth and a need for further growth. Hang on to that. All right, next thing is, do I admit when I'm wrong? We're talking about, are you teachable? Do I admit when I'm wrong? Psalm 119:29, the psalmist says, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. In verse 26, the psalmist says, When I told of my ways, you answered me. And then says in verse 29, put false ways from me. He has opened his heart to the Lord, honestly confessing. And now that the Lord has answered him, he is looking for correction from what is false within him. You see this? So many people come for deliverance, and you say, these deliverance people say, well, this is what God says in there. Oh, no, it's not. Boy, no, it's not. You're not going to get delivered from anything because yourself is up there, and yourself is saying, I'm fine, and I don't need anything. If you go for deliverance and you go, I'm going to tell you right now, they'll call me and say who's going to be delivered. I pray. They pray. We all pray. We listen for God's voice, and he tells us what's in these people, and that's how they start the deliverance. And then God goes from there, and then he brings other things out of us there. But he gives us a start anyhow. All right? What's it going to profit me if I tell you that you have a spirit of jealousy? You know, but, and you don't. What would that do? Why would I even say that? And I know that the deliverance team doesn't say they better not anyhow. They don't say that. No, they honestly don't say that either. We only say what God shows us, nothing more, nothing less, because what he shows us is what you need to get rid of. All right? Sometimes when you hear the teaching, you say, well, I have that in me. I need to go get that out of me. I think that's great when you do that, when you can honestly admit that there's something wrong with you and then do something about getting rid of it. Some find it hard to admit when they are wrong, but it is vital to embrace your limited capacity and value what is right and true. Turn over what made sense to you in the past. That should have been turnover. Just admit you're wrong. Admit the way you were thinking all these years was wrong. I was just saying to somebody that, I said, you know, I really missed the marks with when I was married to Larry, because when God told me to wash his feet and become his servant, there were times when I was not his servant and things didn't turn out right. I have admitted over and over again what the wrongdoings that I did for my marriage, in my marriage. How about you? Are you admitting, all right, so you have a relationship and you're always blaming the other person. They're no good. They're this or that, the other. When you do that, there's something in you that's going wrong also. Are you admitting your fault and your flaws in the whole relationship? It is not always one-sided, guys, even though you try to make it that way. It goes both ways, all right? Just make sure you check yourself out really good. All right, forgiveness is not optional. God is a God of justice, and he is well able to deal with people in situations that have caused us pain. God is able to deal with people who in situations that cause us pain. Forgiveness is freedom. Attitude has always determined altitude, and this will never change. Attitude has always determined altitude, and this will never change. The world is watching us, guys. They are looking for a demonstration of a Jesus they can also follow. Are you listening to this? How we represent him in dark days screams volumes to people seeking answers. Somebody the other day said to one of my family members, I just never seen anything like your mother. You know, you can do all kind of harm to her and she'll tell you don't ever do it again, but then she'll turn around and lovingly do something good for you. I've never seen people do that because, see, they're not used to family. They're not used to being shown grace, and it's blowing their mind, but you know what? It's also growing them up, and they want what we have. Are you listening here? Somebody's got to show the world that there's something different than what they already have. Somebody's even going, well, all right, when I was first born again, every time they gave an altar call, God would say to me, go to the altar. And I'd go up there and I'd say, God, I'd be up in the altar. I'd say, God, I haven't done anything wrong. Why am I always up here? He said, somebody has to lead and look around you. And all the church had come up and knelt down for prayer. It was because God made me lead them to the altar. And I had to understand that. So you know what? God might be causing you, might be the biggest saint in the world, but God is causing you to do something and you're wondering why, and it's because he wants you to lead the lost to Christ. Many souls were saved in that church because I was always up there at the altar, you know, and they thought, well, if she has a problem, I do too, because they told me that's what they thought. But then they got set free. Why are you following God anyhow? Why are you afraid to get your hands dirty? Why do you care what people think about you as long as you're doing what God is calling you forth to do? You're supposed to be a love vessel, right? Just like Jesus. You're not supposed to be worried about what people are thinking about you. What you're supposed to be doing is keeping your mind on Christ and doing what he's telling you to do. All right, I said the world is watching. They are looking for a demonstration of a Jesus they can also follow. How we represent him in dark days screams volumes to people seeking answers. Excuse me. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We are challenged to consider our ways. The first chapter of Haggai talks about shifting our conduct so we can succeed. There are uncertain days ahead for sure, but God is still in control. Didn't he tell us, without a shadow of a doubt, even though it's going to be very, very, very dark and things were going to be very difficult, that he would take care of his own? Didn't he say that? We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat or where. He is going to take care of us. He is seeking to raise up a church that looks and acts like he does. Do you know how tell them. Do you know how upset I get when I see you people acting dumb? And I'm thinking, God, how are you ever going to use this church to bring others to Christ? I'm being honest about myself. And some of you know I feel like that every now and then. I like to go slap them real good because they're not being Christ-like. And we're supposed to be Christ-like 24/7. If you want to not be Christ-like, go to a dark corner and hit the wall and scream there. But don't do it out where the world sees it and sees you acting like the world does. Are you hearing me here? Come on. We are going to experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit like we never have before. But God will always look on your heart. And don't use that. I hate this phrase people say. Well, God knows my heart, you sinner. Yeah, I said, yeah, he does. Finally, I said, yeah, he does. He knows that you have hardened your heart. And you that isn't how God looks at me. I said, yes, he does. Because you know better and you're still sinning. He does know your heart and he knows it's hard. And you're unteachable. And you need to quit that. Quit using that excuse to do the thing you want to do. All right? Well, one thing you say for sure, he does know your heart. That is too honest. All right? All right, we can do all kind of things for God, but in the end, the question will be, have we forgotten our first love? God is for us, with us, and is well able to help us run the race and win the prize. God has been trying to change us into his image. What have you allowed him to change? When I hear you backbiting or coming against God's anointed, you're not changed yet. There's still things in you that has to be cleaned up. Really and truly, if you were really cleaned up, you wouldn't care what people do to you. You really wouldn't. You'd just say, well, God, just bless them, and you'd go on. And you'd mean it from the very depths of your being. All right, are you a servant? Psalm 119, 124 says, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. There is a remarkable tie in Psalm 119 between the psalmist's desire to be taught and his identity as the Lord's servant. The sum of the law of God is love, love for God and neighbor, while the ultimate expression of love is death to self for the benefit of someone else. Come on. Death to self for the benefit of someone else. Well, you just don't know what, I don't care what they did. Get it under the blood and get over it and pray for them and bring them forth. You ought to thank, and this is what I say, I said, thank you, God, that I'm not in their shoes. You ought to thank God every day that you're not bound up like the one that you're criticizing always is. You just really need to thank God for that. Because guess what? God's been telling me again, the first is going to be last, the last first. You know that one that you think is all messed up and all ain't going to go to hell and all this and then some? They're going to be praising God and you're going to be out on the street. That's a fact. God's been telling me that. That's a fact. So you better start praying for that one that you don't like. The more we grow in knowledge of the Lord, the more we will seek to serve others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. As an apprentice serves alongside the master, as a trade is taught, so we learn by doing, and as servants of Christ, we seek to join in the Father's work. Psalm 119, 102, he is my help and my salvation, and his spirit gives me hope that my soul will one day say, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. You know, God told me the Holy Spirit, daughter, will teach you all that you need to know to run my church. And God has been faithful in that. People haven't taught me. The Holy Spirit has. What people try to teach me was wrong. So I rely on the Holy Spirit for everything. I really do. Because people are so quick to give you advice. Why am I in this building? You know the story. Because I had the church in my home. It was growing. It was really prospering. And the people said, you have to get out into public where people can see you. And so I listened to this, to the people in the church. And we went hunting. And this is the only thing that was open at the time. And we took it. And I had trouble with it. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, I didn't tell you to come here. The people did. And those same people that told me to come here left me. And then talked about me. So I don't listen to anything anybody says. I don't care who you are. The Holy Spirit has to tell me or I don't hear it. Are you listening? Come on. So, where am I at? Are you teachable? Or are you still making excuses to why you do what you are doing? Some of you only got 70% on that when you failed your test. We are called to do great exploits, but this will only happen as we allow God to change us from glory to glory. Come on. Some of you are not allowing God to even touch you, let alone change you. You have to allow God to change you from glory to glory. In other words, keep growing higher and higher and higher in Him. And when you see you have a flaw, give it to God and ask God to take it from you. I used to be judgmental about certain things, so God allowed me to fall into them. And I'm so sorry that I was judgmental. Because then I had to walk that thing out, and I had to learn a dear lesson. And I don't judge anybody for anything ever again, because after all, thank God that I'm not walking in those shoes. I watch the body of Christ, and I do not see an agape love walk going on. I still see the body of Christ backbiting and seeking revenge on their conceived enemy, their brother or sister in the Lord. Oh, this is what God said. So let's go back and read that again. This is where God took over. I watch the body of Christ, and I do not see an agape love walk going on. I still see the body of Christ backbiting and seeking revenge on their conceived enemy, their brother or sister in the Lord. I am not pleased with what I see, and I admonish you to keep in mind the words of Matthew 22:14. And it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many of my children do not believe nor understand the words in Luke 13:28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. This is God speaking to you guys. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. 1 Peter 4:7-9, love covers a multitude of sins, is what this Proverbs 17:9 is saying. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. When you start speaking about somebody else's sins, you are uncovering them, you're not loving them. I know, because God had brought that scripture to me many times in the past. He would give me that scripture. He said, love covers a multitude of sins, daughter, and you're not walking in love right now. Are you listening? Come on. Verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then God says, where is my true church? What is she up to? Why can she not see the error of her ways? Does she not know that I am for her and not against her? Woe, woe, woe for all those who have become unteachable. Saints, if you are an unteachable person, you have to become teachable in order for God to use you. You have to quit being a know-it-all. You have to be one that can be taught. I'm going to tell you, if you're walking 100% holy, if you're walking 100% righteous, then God Himself is going to speak to you, and He's going to lead, guide, and direct every one of your footsteps. But if you're out there being in the gray area, which doesn't exist, but a lot of people does, and you're not walking in true holiness and true righteousness, then you need somebody to come, God to send somebody to you to tell you what you're doing wrong. And if that's the case, and you say, I'm not listening to a thing you have to say, then you, at this point, are unteachable, and God cannot use you. All right? I've had people come and tell me things, and I would say, well, I'll take that before the Lord. And when I took it before the Lord, He said, I didn't say that. And I don't want to hear, I didn't say that. Because I want God to tell me the truth. Because see, the truth I can stand, a lie I cannot. And I want God to be truthful to me about my walk with Him all the time. Because I don't want to walk in deception and end up in hell. That would kill me, if nothing else, if I wasn't already dead. Are you understand? Because do you understand what the devil would do to me? Do you know, if you've torn down the kingdom of darkness in any way, if you've got anybody saved, do you understand what the devil would do to you when he gets you to hell? You will be tormented awful. So you need to really stop and think tonight. Am I really teachable? Have I really been changing like God wants me to change? Am I really walking the love walk the way, because God said he doesn't see the gopi love walk in his church. So, I'm not going to call God a liar. He said it, and I believe it. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, you know, change. But you're going to have to change. I'm going to tell you, there's something you in here, you have been so critical and so judgmental that God can't use you, even though you think he is. He cannot. I don't care how brilliant you are in math or whatever. He cannot use you because you're still judgmental, and you won't pray for your enemies. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your teaching tonight. I thank you, God, for the ones you sent in here to hear this teaching.